Hey, thanks so much for listening to this message. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Madison Church of Christ. It's our hope and prayer that the teaching you hear today will bless your life and draw you closer to God. If you're ever in the Madison area, we'd love for you to stop by and study the Bible with us on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you have questions about the Bible or want to know more about the Madison Church, you can find us online at madisonchurch.org. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, as well as our sermons podcast, Madison Church of Christ Sermons. Thanks again for stopping by. I hope this study is a blessing to you.
I wanted to get right into it because I want to spend the majority of the time on the last chart. Okay, so let's see how that works out. Discussing the idea of us in our workplace. Now, workplace is whatever it is. An office, a production line, from your home, classroom, whatever you do. Now, for those of you who are retired, fully retired, I don't know what to tell you guys. But just be, your wisdom is what's gonna carry the class. So I'm looking to some older folks, right? Never mind. So we're looking for how we as men approach our workplace, how we conduct ourselves. Again, most of these things, there may be a couple of things in here that you go, I never thought of that. Okay, but most of it you're gonna say, okay, yeah, I got it. And if so, fantastic. This will hopefully be a good reminder. Let me get this out of the way. So we'll start. See, well, let me tell you, this is the font that Google says is the most masculine font. I don't know, maybe. I like that one. Can you make that one out? That's pretty masculine there, okay? So I like that one. A man at his work, starting in Colossians, that's our key verse here. Whatever you do, whatever it is you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Okay. So this is not new. This idea of, yes, I go to work and I have a boss here, and it's for a company, it's for a government, it's for this, whatever. My work is, I should, as a Christian, approach every day as what I'm doing today, I'm doing for the Lord. I'm doing for God. That changes perspectives a lot, right? I'm not doing it for a corporation so they can make profit and share a minuscule amount of that with me, okay? I'm not doing that for whatever. I'm doing it for God. And the ways in which that can be accomplished, we'll talk about. God established work, okay? Genesis 2:15. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Not new. Is there anything about something that I won't say surprised me, but I had read past and not made a couple of connections? Does this verse say anything or give anything that's maybe a surprise to you? Maybe I'm showing some of my naiveness.
I think when we think of paradise, we think of a place where we don't have to work.
Yeah, right. But that's right.
Before the fall of man, we still were expected to work.
It is. And by design. This was, as you said, it was before the fall. This was in the garden where things were perfect. But God still said, hey, go work. You need to go work. Because work is good. So too often, we see work as a punishment and not something that can be used for the glory of God. Okay, the word here is stewardship. I mean, it is something that's been given to us. Now, how are we going to handle it? It's much like money. You have cash. Hopefully you have some money. What are you going to do? How are you going to handle that? And be accountable to God for how you handle it. much like this. We have the blessing of work. Okay? And if you don't think it's a blessing, be without for a while. And look, be looking for a while. So is that a thought that's ever occurred to you? That this idea of work was something that even happened in the garden? Does that thought have any change in your mind about the idea of work? We talked about, you know, it's not punishment being mentioned. So God put that out there for us, for our good, okay, to teach us things. Work is good. We know that. We know that it's not good for us to sit around idle. Okay. That's trouble. Yes, sir.
Makes you wonder if we're going to be working in heaven.
Well, you know, I guess it does. You know, we talk about there's a place of rest, a place of this, and I agree. You know, it may be different for different people. You know, for some people, they're physical labor and they're just worn out. Some of it is the labor of fighting Satan and sin all the time. Some of it is the labor of relationships, the labor of whatever that they're not having. They can rest from, but you know that's good. I think. I mean, part of our work may be in whatever the service is. I used to would make some kind of arrogant statement about, you know, when I, you know, in heaven, I'm going to do that. I want to do this. I want to do this. And somebody said, you know, you might spend the first 10,000 years on your face saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Are you good with that? Yes, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I got it. So yeah, the idea is that work is a harmful thing done to punishment is just let's get past that. It's a good thing. It's designed by God and expected by God. The character of us at work. Again, these things aren't any surprise to us, okay? Proverbs 22:9 says, "Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." Now, don't take that to mean that unless you must be the best in your chosen profession at whatever you do. There's a lot that goes into being a good employee, a good worker, a good manager, a good whatever. That doesn't involve you being the most skilled at your particular choice of line of work. Okay. So I summed it up with the word integrity, but it has some branches off of it. Excellence at what you do is a good thing. Never pass up an opportunity to be better at what you do. Learning from whether it's some educational material, whether it's finding somebody at work. My advice to we were having this discussion today. Usually when I would have new employees come in, they always had to come by my desk and we had a conversation. We would establish a relationship and later they would come back for some mentoring. The question that they wanted to know, what do you think, the one question that was almost universal that they wanted to know, and they've been working for a couple weeks. How do I get promoted? What's the fastest way to get promoted up this? I said, okay, continue to live for the next 25, 30 years, okay, and show up every day, okay? It's about excellence. You know, do your job. Do it very well. Do it the best you can. Diligence, doing it without complaints, without arguing, without any hesitation. And again, these things are not earth-shattering ideas to you, okay, right? These are things we've all learned. We were taught these probably by our parents that tried to tell us. A lot of lessons like these are words that I learned from my parents most of the time in the heat of the summer in the garden while pulling weeds out from butter beans or green beans. The words, if something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. You know, you heard that? Okay, that's right. That's what this comes to. Do it right and do it well. Reliability is another one. in many cases in today's world, if you're talking to a young person and they want to know how to get ahead in their career, they will be ahead of 50% of their peers if they show up. Just show up. Okay? Be there on time. Stay till your time is done. And go home. And that, so I say this not as a way I'm saying this in a way just to tell you information to so you understand the background that I have to say these things. I retired 3 years ago. That lasted a weekend. I went back to work, and I'm working full time again now. When I retired, I was responsible for 1,500 government people and about 8,000 contractors and a couple of billion dollars a year. I had to deal with these kind of things every single day, every day. 99% of the people, fantastic. Wonderful, hardworking, conscientious, good people. 1% of 1,500, still a lot of people, okay, to deal with. So you learn these things. And a lot of them are from these experiences. Again, we're getting to the last chart. That's our goal today, is to get to the last chart. Which of these traits do you think is the most important as a servant? Can you point one out that say, what is the most important as a Christian to try to do? What you don't want is for somebody to know or find out that you're a Christian. And when they find that out, they go, really? I didn't know that. Okay. When they hear that, they say, I should have known by the way they do things. They show up. We used to have car tags we would give out here, Madison Church of Christ. Put them on in front of your car. And in classes, I would say, please don't take a car. Take one of those tags if you're going to drive like most people around here, okay? Please. Because I don't want to be, you don't want that tied back to it. We are reflecting God based on, do we show up? Are we honest? How do we treat people? How do we talk? What language do we use? What language are we around? If it starts going the way it shouldn't go, do we leave? Okay. So there's a lot that we can do to set a good example, and people notice, because there's somebody else there who knows they should leave, knows they shouldn't be participating in it, and when they see you leave, that gives them courage to do the same. Work is an opportunity for ministry. Okay. Matthew 5:14. If somebody could look these up for me while we're talking. The workplace is an opportunity for a mission field, because there are people who either haven't heard much about Christ or haven't heard anything about him. And you have an opportunity to reflect him to them. That integrity piece of it, that reflects Christ. Okay. How do I conduct myself? What do I say? Do I work hard? Am I a complainer? And our attitude when it comes to our work speaks loudly. Has anybody got Matthew 5? Those two verses, please.
You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill, not hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Okay. Keep that verse in mind. We're lights. We shine as lights in the world. People see those lights and they glorify God. Philippians 2:14-15. Somebody read that.
Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights of the world.
Lights in the world. So Paul said, if you do this, you will shine as lights in the world. Jesus recorded Matthew saying, when you shine as lights in the world, you bring glory to God. And the action Paul was talking about was, do all things without groaning and complaining, without mumbling and complaining, whatever the words that the various translations use. Do things without complaining. Because when you do that, you're a light. You bring glory to God. I don't think I'm mistying those two things, those two thoughts together. Hey, there are other things that we can do to shine as lights in the world. There's a specific one. Okay? Our attitude, every day coming to work. It's okay when the alarm clock goes off to not excitedly jump out of bed and start to drive in either down 72 or 565 with thousands of your closest friends. Okay? There are some people I want to follow into work to see where they work, because it must be the most wonderful place in the world, because of how fast they're trying to get there. Right? It's crazy. But once we get there, attitude means a lot. I would say, if you give me somebody with a good attitude, give me a C student with a good attitude and a willingness to work, I'll take him over an A student any day. Because I was a C student, you know, so that I'm willing to help out my fellow mediocre accomplishments. So what are some ways that we can show God? What are some ways that we can reflect that light in the workplace, other than not complaining? Suggestions?
I think a layup opportunity is how you treat people when they make mistakes. You know, do you beat them up for it, or
right.
You know, tell them how stupid they are? Do you help lift them up?
Yeah.
Encourage them.
That's good. Anything else?
Mentorship is a good opportunity, right? There's so many different mentorship programs that are, I don't know, just advocated for in the workplace now. Like being a mentor, you just naturally have that opportunity.
So how many of you have had mentors in life and work and whatever? Probably everybody, I would hope that you have, whether or not you called them a mentor, whether or not they call themselves a mentor, we benefited from it. Okay, generally from somebody probably older than you, took an interest in you and your career and your whatever, and helped. Now, how many of you have in turn served as mentors to other people? Few. To me, that's harder, because it's hard to look in the mirror and say, "That's a mentor right there." Okay, because I know myself, right? But what you have to realize is, you, when you have some time and experience behind you, you have something that they don't have, and that's time and experience. Okay? That people need to see, they need to hear it from a person who can deal with them from a godly approach. I was said, you know, how do you work with them when they make a mistake? You mentor them through that process. Okay. It's you know, same thing as coaching a ball team for young kids. When they fail, how you approach them with that and how you deal with that for them depends. That's going to affect how they are next time at bat or in the next game. Okay. It's just different. Doesn't mean that it's all, "Hey, sweetie, it's going to be okay. You'll swing, just enjoy it." Okay, it's not that. But it doesn't have to be belittling. Okay, it's encouraging. So, yeah, good point. Any other comments on that? Yes, sir.
Yep. One of the more difficult, maybe is the right word, things that I wound up coaching some employees through: when you blow up a motor, that's a bad thing. And when it gets traced back to your analysis that wasn't done right, that's a bad thing. But how you handle it and move forward is what everybody will remember. And it's hard to get people to understand that. I know you feel terrible, and you know, you think you're dumb as dirt, and you know, right, Everybody hates you now. But no, how you handle it and move forward is what's going to distinguish you, because everybody makes mistakes. Mm-hmm. And it's a tough spot. but just keep moving. Keep moving.
So I learned a phrase within the last 6 months at a funeral. And that phrase has been useful when I've gone to funerals since then, or in situations like that. And that was, hey, you know, when there's this person dealing with a difficult situation in their lives, hey, listen, we don't necessarily want to move on, okay, but we have to move forward. Sometimes you don't want to move on because these are memories. I'm not asking you to move on. Hey, yeah, it was nice knowing them while they were here. What's next? We're not moving on from that, but we do have to keep going forward. We have to do keep going forward. Same thing with things like that. When you're talking with people, trying to help them, an approach like that is very Christ-like. Yes, sir.
Just you were talking about where reliability was up there on the screen, and I do think there's something about that consistent pattern where you come to count on that person that really is a powerful display of your word.
Right.
It's like when the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. When you tell someone, I'll be there. When you tell someone, I'll make that happen. When you tell someone, you can count on me. And then you deliver over and over to the best of your ability. You know, we're all making mistakes from time to time. But when people see that consistency, that pattern, that trustworthiness is like one of those things that climbs the top. And it's like when I have a project and I need something done, well, who am I going to go to? I'm going to go to the one that I know can make it happen. I'm going to put that in his hands.
Right. So the consistency is huge. Again, with my words and my actions, I go to church, they see me this now, and I act in a different way that's not consistent with that. Credibility is just gone. Work is good, but it's also time to realize we need to rest at times. Okay. Exodus 28 talks about Sabbath. Set aside some time for rest. Mark 1:35 talks about Jesus getting up early in the morning, going out by himself in a quiet place to rest. Mark 6 talks about the disciples coming in from being on the limited commission, going, and they've done some things, and they come back, and they are worn out from the effort. And he says, hey, let's go. Come on, let's go over here and do this. After Jesus had been crucified, but before resurrection, in that day or so, I think if that's right, Peter, the disciples are standing around trying to figure out what's going on. Peter says, I'm going fishing. And he went fishing out on his boat. I don't know if that was a matter of getting away, having some stress relief, or him thinking, well, okay, that was interesting 3 years that I had. Now I got to get back to fishing. I don't know what he was thinking, but he was getting away to do something. It's important to rest, okay? Mentally, physically, emotionally, it's very important. Work is good, but this is a factor here too, to make yourself good. I had always had trouble encouraging people to use their vacation time. A lot of them I didn't have any problem with because they would use it and then some, but taking time off is good. They're dedicated. I want to be here. This place can't live without me. You had to break the news to them. Listen, if you get hit by a truck in the parking lot, we're going to miss you and we're going to cry and we'll hug each other. But guess what? The mission goes on. Seen it happen too many times. In the office I worked in the span of 12 months, we had three leaders, three division chiefs die. One of cancer, one of a heart attack in the office, went out on a gurney. And one, at the end of the day, went home, drank a glass of whiskey, and put a gun in his mouth, okay? And these were leaders. These were people who were relied on. They were very, very good at what they did. And we missed them. But you know what? The next day, there was somebody else who was a division chief that wasn't the day before. Okay. So take care of yourself and rest. And these two things I'm saying are consistent. Okay, work hard, be on time, do all those things. Take care of yourself and rest. God is But we can rest by realizing, you know what, God is the provider, the ultimate provider. We're going to be okay. Okay. It's good to take some downtime. And we have this misconception that it's good to say, hey, how you doing? Man, I'm worn out. Worn out. Killing me at work. That's not a badge of honor. Okay. It really isn't. Okay, and we live a life of tiredness. Right? I do it. I'm that way all the time too. But what does healthy rest look like to you? When I had to go to some school up in D.C. for 4 months, lived up there, and they gave you some self-study time. Pick a topic and study it. And I was looking for, I chose stress management and time management. On the stress management, I read books, I watched videos of speakers, people who supposedly knew what they were talking about, and took notes. And then I had a spreadsheet and kept notes of it and looked at what they all said. Most of them said, stress, they said, get sleep, cut back on your caffeine, and exercise. It seems odd to say, I'm tired at the end of the day. Well, did you exercise? Well, no, we'll try exercise. Well, that sounds counterintuitive, right? Try it. If you're having that challenge. Jesus is our example. John 17:4. He was a worker. He said, I've completed what you gave me to do, God. In his prayer, in John 17, before the crucifixion, I've given and done what you've asked me to do.
Can I offer you, Stan, related to your previous point? I follow Jordan Peterson, who's a clinical psychologist, and he treats a lot of depressed people. And one of the first things he tells them is establish a routine, eat well, get sleep. And most of them show remarkable improvement just with those little things. Some exercise, eat properly instead of junk, right, at appointed times, and get rest.
And I say that and am not good at doing any of those. Okay, but I agree they're right to do. I mean, it's like Dave Ramsey. Hey, he's right. I know he's right. I just can't pull it off, right? I'm going to go to, here we go. Dangers of work. Dangers at work. A danger of work is that it can become your identity. Okay. And when people ask, well, tell me about you. Well, I do this, I do this, I do this. Not, I'm a father, I'm a husband for 30 years to this wonderful woman. I've got 4 kids, I've got whatever your story is. What is your identity? Okay. And these things I'm speaking to, except for one, we'll get to, I'm speaking to from firsthand experience. It becomes who you are, not what you do. When you have a job that you love, and for a period of time, it was for several years, loved it. The alarm clock went off, I was up and was there. My goal was to be there before anybody and leave after everybody. I was the leader. I felt that was the right thing to do. Okay. Loved the job and felt like I was very competent in it. It became who I was. That's a danger. From a lot of things, because there are a lot of things when you write those things down. Andrew had us write down some things Sunday morning of our list. Very seldom are we going to say, well, my job is more important than my wife. Nobody's going to say that. Even if you think it, you're not going to say it. Okay? Right? But nobody's going to do that. But we can get to the point where it is. And we will say, no, that's not true. What's important to you is where you give your attention and where you spend your time. Okay? It just is. It just is. Be very, very careful about this, because you can lose yourself in that. to the point that I can point back to three nights in July of 2010 where I went to sleep and thought, I am not going to wake up in the morning. Lay down in bed because of, I was so engrossed in work. Again, loved it. But there were some very, very stressful things happening. And I was carrying it because I felt it was my job as the leader, the boss, to take the weight and protect the other people in the organization from it. And I thought, this is it. I'm not feeling good. And I was too stubborn to tell Jennifer, because she would probably call the doctor. And I thought, okay, this is it. I'm done. And so what do? Well, you kiss your wife, you say your prayer, and see what happens. Right? It was clear three nights, and it was that July of 2010. And October 2010, I made a job change. I left the job that I feel like I was put on earth to do. But I left it because of that night, of those three nights. So, you know, watch yourself. Work can become our idol. Okay? The paycheck, yeah, that's the easy one, right? This, the money can be nice to have. It is nice to have. Okay? It's the grease for the world here now, make things happen. We need it. But let's be sure that we keep it in perspective. One way to do that, and I'll say this almost any opportunity I give, when this comes in, know already how much you're giving when Sunday rolls around. Okay? Please, please, please. It's a blessing. It's not a problem. It's not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. The people in the New Testament, in Paul's time, begged him, please take our money. We want to be a part of your work, because it was a blessing for them to be a part of it. That'll keep that from becoming an idol for you. Accolades for good work. We can become addicted. We did something good, and somebody says, hey, fantastic job. Everybody knows that Trey did such a great job. Proud of Trey back there. Wonderful. And that same feeling is when somebody likes your post on Facebook. Ooh, that's a good feeling. And endorphin, ooh, that's a nice thing. I want to do it again. And you get hooked on this. And so it's more, you pour more and more and more and more into it. And that becomes your idol. Or if you get into a position of authority, when you are in a position of authority, yes, sir. You walk in rooms, some folks stand up. Okay. What can we get you? Can we do this? You have a reserved parking spot, whatever it is. It starts feeding the ego. We all have ego. Every one of us have an ego. Do we have it under control? How big is it? Keep it under control. Don't let that become who you are. Don't let it become an idol for you. Okay? Not a bad thing to aspire to. We need good Christian men who know how to treat people nice, who know how to deal with people when they've made mistakes. Okay? Leading other people. We need that. Learn how to manage it. It can be used as a way to get out of doing other stuff we need to do at home. Okay? Boy, I know that a baby's sick and is creating a dirty diaper about every 30 minutes, but maybe I just got this deadline I got to work on. I'll be home late tonight. Okay? Don't use it as a crutch for not doing other stuff. Not seeing anybody ever would, but be careful about that. Okay? Again, we can get way out of balance with our work and our life. Okay? Hey, lived it for a long time. Loved the job. Came home when I got home, would have supper, and would eventually, you know, do things with the kids, with Jennifer. Came time for bed. I'm on the, this to you, this will date me a little bit, on the BlackBerry, doing email till I fell asleep with it in my hand. Wake up in the morning, 4 o'clock, get the BlackBerry, do a couple more emails, just get up, start getting ready to go into work. And that's for a period of about 10 years, I was averaging about 4.5 to 5 hours of sleep a night. And that was fine. I didn't notice any negative effects of that. Okay. But it wasn't until I was out of that situation that I realized how out of balance I was. Okay. I finished out my career working for the Army. I retired and went to a different job, and I didn't realize how out of balance I was those last few years. Okay, and it was better. Okay. It takes constant work maintaining that. Now, here's the last one. This one's pretty difficult. Okay. You may not be able to see it. Beware of workplace relationships. Okay. And I'm speaking specifically male-female relationships. Never, ever refer to somebody as your work wife. Okay. Please. I'm saying these things because as a leader at work, I've had to deal with this. No, not me. I've had to deal with this within the organization as an elder. Okay. We're not immune. You work together. You have common interests, obviously. You have successes together at work. You have failures together at work. You may travel together. You have downtime, so that allows for talking about your life, and so you build common interest there. It's the frog in the boiling water. Be very, very, very careful about this. Be careful about having closed door meetings with ladies. Not that there's anything wrong. Not that you're wrong. Not that they're not. Think about your appearance. Protect your reputation. Protect her reputation. Okay. I saved this one because I really want to foot stomp on this one. Please be careful about this. Okay. Seeing careers destroyed and marriages destroyed because of it. Please. Please. Okay. That doesn't mean you can't, you know, have people work together, because that's how life is. We work together. You don't have any option. Okay. Be smart. Okay. Gentle as doves, wise as serpents. Now, for the next minute and a half, questions, comments, additions? Yes, sir, Mike.
Dan, I think one thing on that last point is always, always think of your spouse. You know, I got married in my 30s, and I'd already had my career, and there was a woman, and we both demoed software, we traveled to conferences together, things like that. And not long after Amy and I got married, you know, we just, oh yeah, Keisha and I had this dinner with customers and had that dinner with customers. And to me, it was just natural. There was nothing going on, but I didn't put views. And so all she heard was, when I was going to these conferences, this was the person that I was doing things with. And, you know, it really had us to sit down and really have a strong conversation and helped me be more mindful of what she thought.
Yeah.
And made sure that even though there was nothing going on, she knew that we weren't traveling alone together. We weren't going, you know, to here together. I think often we forget about what our spouse may think when they hear us talk about these situations.
And if you are lucky enough to work with a brother in Christ, accountability partners. Okay? Yes, sir, Ronnie.
I recommended to a deacon in the congregation who had started having an affair at work. He just swore he could not help the relationship. He could not get out of it. And I suggested that he change jobs. I said, you need to save your marriage and your soul. Quit that job and dig ditches or whatever. He didn't, and he broke up his marriage, tore up family, hurt the church. It was awful.
Yeah. So it's just a struggle. Okay, guys, work is great. Work is good. Work is of God. Okay? Satan is going to use anything he can to separate you from God, to separate you from your spouse. Any little crease that shows up, he's going to use it. Okay? Don't let him. Do not let him win. You have to, you have to be very purposeful and intentional in this. It doesn't just happen. You have to acknowledge, hey, these are challenges. I may not be facing it right now, but I could. So what am I going to do? I'm going to be very purposeful and intentional in my actions, the things I do, the way I talk. Works from God, provides opportunities for good, positive influences. But we got to watch out. Got to watch out. Okay. Love you guys. Appreciate y'all being here. Hope that there's been something in here that you can take away. All right. Y'all have a good one.